Today on Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, we explain the difference between the words fake, forge, falsify, and counterfeit, and also answer more of your questions. Hello and welcome. My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And together, Reza and I have many, many years of experience teaching English, and we're here to help you improve all parts of your English, your pronunciation, your grammar, your vocabulary, etc., and take it to the next level. Hello, Reza.
Hi, Craig. How are things?
Things are wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Do we have any feedback this week?
We certainly do. We got some voice feedback, a voice message from Gabriel from Tijuana, who has given us feedback before. Hi, Gabriel. We hope you're doing well.
Hi, Gabriel. Great to hear from you. Let's hear what Gabriel says this week.
Hi, Reza and Craig. This is Gabriel from Tijuana. Thank you for your feedback. I will put in practice. You can see in the end of this message. I want to tell you something about me. I'm a person with 40 years old. I'm an electronic technician with 22 years of experience. Right now I'm back to the university because I want to change something of my life. I want to be a counter. If you have some podcasts about accounter, financials, or something about that, I will appreciate. And thank you for everything I say. Thank you.
Gabrielle, thank you so much for your voice message. We really, really enjoy hearing people's voices and also, as you did, telling us something about your lives. So we love it when we get some audio feedback. When you said, I really like the expression you used, to put something into practice, but you need the object. You forgot the object. So you put it into practice. So you always put something into practice, to put your studies into practice or to put it or put them into practice, which means to do it. So I really liked that expression. Anything else, Reza?
Yes, Gabriel, your pronunciation on the whole was very good, by the way. Well done. And some nice intonation. However, I did notice a couple of quite important things. You want to be an accountant. An accountant, not a counter. No. A counter is actually not a person. A counter is a thing. A counter could be like the place in a shop where the customer and the shopkeeper meet. It's like a kind of big table, if you like, but without any legs.
Mostrador.
Mostrador, that's a counter. Or a counter can be a machine which counts things, but it's not a person. So you want to be an accountant.
That's the profession, isn't it? An accountant or maybe a bookkeeper?
Bookkeeper, yeah, that's a good expression.
An accountant and a bookkeeper.
And also, it may be the recording, maybe I didn't hear you well, but it sounded like you said you're a person which 4 years old. I don't know if you really said that, but it sounded like that. Well, there's a couple of things there. You shouldn't say a person which. We say which for things. So for a person, you should use who or that. A person who or that is 40 years old, I presume. You sound a lot older than 4 years old to me. If you're 4 years old, you are an absolute genius. But I imagine you're probably 40, not cuatro.
But you could also change the order and say, I'm a 40-year-old man. So a man who is 40 or a 40-year-old man, you could also say.
I think you just forgot to say the T at the end of four, but it is very important when we're counting.
So, we have spoken about money and finance in the past, and I'll tell you which episodes you can go to for that vocabulary. Episodes 23, episodes 24, episode 46. So also we spoke about the economy and trends in episode 117. So for all of those episodes, I will put links to those episodes in the show notes, which are at inglespodcast.com/147. And remember, to go to those episodes, just go to the internet and type inglespodcast.com/ and then the number of the episode. So 117, 24, 46, 23. Good luck with your career change, Gabrielle. We wish you the best. And please let us know if we can help you with anything else. Is there any more feedback?
Yes, as well as Gabrielle's message, we had an email from Antonio. I'll read his email. Buenos días. Soy un fan de vuestra página. He hecho todos los cursos gratuitos que ofrecéis en la Mansión del Inglés. Os escribo porque estoy haciendo los ejercicios de vuestros cuadernos y me ha surgido una duda. ¿Qué es la diferencia entre fake, forge, falsify y counterfeit? Estaré muy agradecido si me pudierais ayudar. Un saludo. Thank you, Antonio.
Yes, thanks, Antonio. Just before we explain that, Antonio's speaking about the webpage mansioningles.com where we have free courses and other materials, so listenings and grammar and lots of vocabulary and stuff on mansioningles.com. And also every 2 weeks, we send a free newsletter by email, which is the Cuaderno del Inglés. And that's where he found an exercise with those four words. So if you'd like to subscribe to our Cuaderno, our newsletter, go to cuadernodeingles.com, cuadernodeingles.com. And it's a free email that we send with exercises, listenings, and all sorts of stuff to help you improve your English. Reza, to fake is a verb, isn't it?
Yes, but it can be a noun as well. Mm-hmm. You can say a fake. So the verb to fake would be in Spanish something like fingir or aparentar. Can you think of any examples, Craig?
Well, there's that expression, isn't there? Fake it till you make it, which means if you pretend something, pretend is fingir also, but if you pretend to be really, really confident or really, I don't know, in a particular way, then eventually you become that. So fake it till you make it means pretend to be a particular way and then you will be that way. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Another very common use of the word fake, I'm afraid, cover your ears if you're under 18, is to fake an orgasm.
Yeah, you can also fake an orgasm. You can pretend to have an orgasm, but you just make the noises. You don't really have it. So,
Craig, have you ever faked an orgasm? I had to ask. I got in there quick before he could ask me. Have you ever faked one, Craig?
No, of course not. That would be dishonest. That would be dishonest to my partner.
And of course, if Craig and I had ever witnessed someone faking one, we wouldn't know, would they? Because they faked it.
What about you?
No, I tried, but I just couldn't. Yeah. But has anyone faked one in my presence? It's very possible. I couldn't answer that.
You never know. You never know. So yeah, fake, to fake is the verb. And a fake, as Reza said, is falsificación. So a person can also be a fake. A thing can be a fake. And a person can be a fake in their personality or character. So if you call a person fake or maybe phony, phoney, it means they're not real. They're pretending to be something they're not. A phony or fake person.
I've just thought of another word in English, which I think is more or less the same as Spanish. A person who is a fake, you could say, is a charlatan.
Yeah.
And in Spanish, I think it's charlatan. It's mm-hmm. the same, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That also, to me, means that they're trying to cheat you, yeah. engañar. So it's
not exactly the same, but kind of similar. Yeah.
Yeah, similar.
Now, Craig, fake can also be an adjective, so it can be used to describe something. For example, it's a fake watch. would mean it's not what you think it is. If a man on the beach in Spain says, would you like to buy this Rolex watch, very good quality, for you, 15 euros?
It's not real, is it?
It's not going to be a Rolex. I suspect it's a fake.
Also, you can see fake bags, for example, really expensive Louis Vuitton bags for 10 euros. They're obviously fakes. They're not real. And a lot of fake electronic equipment is coming out of China these days. So fake phones and fake equipment, copies of more expensive things.
Greg, the word counterfeit, that's counterfeit, counterfeit, is quite a tricky word, isn't it?
Yes, it means falso in Spanish. And it's often used with money. Obviously, you can have counterfeit or false paintings and works of art. But it's very often used with money. A counterfeit note. Remember, note is for British English and bill is for American English. So it's a counterfeit $10 bill or a counterfeit 50 euro note.
So what would you say is the main difference in usage between fake and counterfeit?
Well, they're very similar, but all counterfeits are fakes. So all counterfeit things are not real, but not all fakes are counterfeits. Because a counterfeit thing kind of means deception. They're trying to deceive you, engañarte. But if something's fake, it just means it's not real. It's not the real thing. Like I don't know.
If you say, my friend's a phony, he's a fake. He pretends to be really rich, but I know he's not. He's a fake. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't say counterfeit because he's not trying to sell you anything. He's not trying to steal your money. He's just not real.
Exactly.
But counterfeit money, that's different. People are trying to give you banknotes which aren't real so that they make a lot of money out of you. That's counterfeit then, when there's deception.
Exactly. You can't use counterfeit money legally to buy things. It's fake money, but it is intended to look like the real thing. Have you ever played the game Monopoly, which is, I think, Monopol in Spanish?
I have, and I've certainly played it plenty of times with my nephew, Ruben. Mm-hmm. Ruben collects Monopoly games.
Really?
Yeah. I think he has about 15 or 20. Some of them are really weird.
And it's a very old game, isn't it? It's goes back to the 1960s or 50s. Even.
Yeah, maybe even older.
Yeah.
But they do copies, not fakes, because they're done with the company's permission. They do special editions of other countries like, you know, New York and Tokyo and stuff. The original is London, but my nephew has one, even of some local towns in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, Monopoly.
So all the streets are local streets?
Yeah, and they really exist. It's for real. And he's got Chinese ones, Japanese, wow, French and stuff. Yeah.
So in those games, they have money, don't they? In Monopoly, there's money, but it's not real money. Yeah. It's fake money. Yeah. Because it's not money in the game that is made to buy things with, like counterfeit money. So it's fake, but it's not counterfeit. It's not intended to deceive you.
No one would take it seriously in real life.
No, it's Mickey Mouse money.
Yes. Oh, Craig, no comment.
Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, you got there before me. You got there before me. I'll say nothing else.
I was waiting for you to say Mickey Mouse money.
I hadn't thought of it. I actually hadn't thought of it. Oh, you shouldn't have reminded me. No further comment.
For new listeners, Reza thinks I have a thing for Mickey Mouse. He thinks Mickey Mouse has a special place in my heart.
Well, he did bring it up, listeners, didn't he? He brought it up.
So, if you think of Monopoly money, it's fake, but it's not necessarily counterfeit. And I think that's the main difference between fake and counterfeit. If you found counterfeit money, Reza, would you try to spend it? Imagine you found a plastic bag in the street walking along, and inside was 500 or 5,000 counterfeit notes, euro notes. Would you try to spend it if it looked realistic?
I'd try, but I guess if I already knew it was counterfeit, then most people are going to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if I can see, if I can spot, that means like identify. If I can spot that it's counterfeit, most people are also going to know.
Yeah.
You know? But if I find very realistic counterfeit money, and you couldn't see that it's counterfeit,
well, you wouldn't.
But somebody told me, I might try. I must admit,
yeah, you would.
But I wouldn't spend it in any old place. I'd only go to shops or places that I don't like and try and spend it there.
Yeah.
Actually, Craig, I did knowingly try to spend counterfeit money once. But I'll tell you the story. I was the victim. I was not the perpetrator of a crime.
But someone passed it to you and then you tried to pass it on to somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. So to pass on, you know, to get rid of the responsibility. But where do you think I got that? I knew it was counterfeit money as soon as I saw it. Immediately. Where do you think I got it from? Can you guess?
Was it here in Spain or was it in Turkey? It was in Spain. A bank.
A bank machine.
A bank machine?
An ATM.
And how did you know it was counterfeit?
Oh, it was obvious when it came out. Any fool could have seen.
Really?
Yeah. As soon as it came out, I thought, this looks strange. And I looked out, I thought,
That's hard to believe that it came out of a bank.
Yeah, it's happened before to other people. It's very unusual, but it happened to me. There were a couple of counterfeit notes from a bank machine. What am I going to do? Who's going to believe me? It was in a shopping center, you know, nobody around, not actually in the bank. So there was no way I could immediately bring it to the bank. And say,
you can't. If you walk into the bank, they won't believe that it came out of their machine. You have no proof.
No proof. You know, I could bring them, you know, the receipt that comes from the machine, but that doesn't prove anything. I could have got real money out of their machine. So it was at the weekend, so I waited until Monday morning and I went to a branch of the bank who owned the ATM and I told them, and they refused to believe me. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, I got it from your bank. Here's the receipt, just like you said. They said, how do we know? You could have got that from anywhere. It's like, we can check that you got money from that bank. Yeah, we can check that if you want and it'll say that you did. But how do we know that that money in your hand is the money you got from that machine? I said, well, it's true. You've got to take my word for it. And they said, well, we're not going to take your word for it. But it really was from a bank machine. And I told people, expecting them to go, oh, don't be crazy. But a few people told me, no, they'd heard of it before.
Really? I've never heard of that. Do you want to name and shame the bank or do you prefer not to?
No, I want to name and shame them because they don't exist anymore. CAM, I should have known, a bank called CAM. Cajo de Oros del Mediterráneo. They don't exist anymore, so they can't litigate against me because they no longer exist. But it was one of their machines.
Maybe they don't exist because they were passing counterfeit money.
Yeah. And I must admit, I tried to get rid of one in a shop where an old man worked.
Oh, right.
No, but hold on. He was a horrible old man. Oh. And he was always rude and he didn't really like me, I felt. And maybe because I was a foreigner, I don't know. He just seemed really unpleasant.
Did he notice?
He's old. I'll try and get rid of it with him. I did notice. He wasn't mad at all. He said, hey, what's this? I said, what? He said, this is fake. I said, no, get away. It is. Sorry. I pretended, fingía. I pretended I didn't know, but I did.
What did it look like? How could you tell or how did you know it was fake? Was it the color? Was it the printing, the thickness of the paper?
It was the quality of the printing. It wasn't perfect.
Somebody did it on their home printing machine.
I don't know. But how did it get into a bank machine? That's the weird thing, isn't it? That is what we call an inside job. An inside job. That means someone who works either in the bank or the company which delivers the money to the bank or something like that was behind it. It can't have been anything else. An inside job. So, yeah, I have got counterfeit money from a bank. Can you believe that? And I couldn't get rid of it. It annoyed me so much that I had to just, you know, I was so frustrated. I tried in many places and I went into other banks to try and make deposits because I thought, you know, banks from in a way are kind of, you know, robbing us all in a way. I thought if there's one group of people I'd like to give it to, it's banks. But of course, banks know a fake counterfeit note when they see it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. So it irritated me so much that in the end I burnt it because I couldn't bear to look at it. I thought, I'm just going to burn this stuff. It's driving me crazy looking at it.
Was it a 50-euro note?
I had about three notes of 20 euros.
Three notes of 20 euros.
So I had to burn them all. Oh, I feel a bit sick just remembering it.
Razor's got money to burn. Razor's got money to burn. To forge, F-O-R-G-E, is a verb, and to forge, one meaning of forge, is to fake or to falsify. So, for example, a collocation with forge is to forge someone's signature. when you sign something, if you sign for another person, you're forging their signature. Now, my signature is quite basic. It's quite easy to forge. Is your signature easy to forge?
I think I've seen your signature before. It's for some reason you sign MM. Why is that?
It's just because I just make it as quick as possible. You know, when you sign things, I don't like fancy, elaborate, complicated signatures. I like to do it quickly. So I just do it, a quick squiggle. A squiggle is like a line that's not straight, a wiggly line, just quickly. So my signature is very, very basic. My dad has a beautiful signature. Takes him about 5 minutes to do it, but it's very elaborate, very difficult to forge, which is important, I suppose, but I never bothered.
It's a security mechanism, really.
Yeah, exactly. There's another meaning of forge, Reza, isn't there?
Yes, as well as talking about falsifying things or faking things, forge also means to shape or create things, to form things, for example, by heating or by hammering. A hammer is a martillo, so hitting things with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can forge metal or forge a bond or a friendship with someone. So that's an abstract meaning of forge.
Yep, that's a nice collocation, to forge a bond. I forged a bond with her immediately. It's something very strong and very very permanent. So the noun of forge is forgery. Forgery, which is falsificación. It's also a crime. So you can say that the artist was found guilty of forgery because he or she forged the painting.
And it's a very common verb and noun. To forge, or a forgery, to do with art, isn't it? It's a very typical collocation to talk about an art forgery of a sculpture or a painting or any work of art. It's quite a common use of forgery.
Yeah, it's this collocation thing, words that like to go together. So you would talk about forgery with art, but you talk about counterfeit with money.
I guess it's to do with the fact that as forge also means to make or create things. So art has to be made, has to be created. You know, you create a friendship, you create a bond, you know, you create a work of art, you create a sculpture. So the word forgery kind of sounds right for that, because it's the idea of hard work going into creating something like a piece of art.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the word counterfeit just really implies, you know, technical deception.
Printing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Antonio's last word he asked us about is falsify. The verb to falsify, well, that's falsificar. So, for example, the witness falsified his statement in court. So he told false things. So falsify is the verb of false, which is an adjective. You can falsify a document, for example. Have you ever falsified anything?
Yes. My mom's signature.
Confessions. Today's confessions time.
Yeah, I falsified my mom's signature.
Mm-hmm.
No, but with her permission.
Yeah.
So technically, I suppose it's illegal, but I urgently had to leave in, that means like deposit, some form. So my mom wanted me to deposit, to leave in an official document in some government building. I can't remember exactly what. And she had filled it in, except she forgot to sign it. So I phoned her up. I said, "Mom, you forgot to sign it and the deadline's today." I said, "Well, can I just sign for you?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, write your signature," quite clever actually, "write your signature on a piece of paper, take a photograph and send me the photograph."
When you copied it?
Yeah, as best I could. I thought, well, since she knows I'm doing it and she wants me to, she's hardly going to complain, you know. So technically I did falsify someone's signature, I guess, but you can understand why I did it.
Yeah, I think that's quite acceptable, and I've done similar things as well in the past. I think as long as you have the person's permission, but you have to be careful. You have to be careful because it can be a crime, and in the wrong situation, you could go, in theory, you could go to prison if you falsify something.
Craig, it's quite common, sadly, that people falsify things on their CV, on their curriculum vitae.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever told little white lies? A white lie is like una pequeña mentira, not a big one on your CV.
Not that I can remember, but then I haven't really been for many job interviews. I mean, I think the number of job interviews I've had, you could easily count on one hand, maybe four or five.
Yeah.
So I've never really had the need to falsify anything.
Me neither. I've never. And we don't advise any of you to do it either.
Definitely not.
We do advise you to make things sound as good as possible. And I have done that. Mention the good things and perhaps not mention the bad things of my career, you know, but not lie. Don't lie.
Yeah. And to cherry pick on your CV, which means if you cherry pick things, you pick out the best things of your qualifications, your experience, depending on the job you're applying for. So make sure that your CV shows very clearly qualifications, experience, and skills that relate directly to the job you're applying for. That's not falsifying anything. That's amplifying and stressing the important things to make sure you have a good chance of getting the job.
So the word falsify then is very common to do with documentation.
Yes.
And information. It's very common for that. CVs, in court, documents, that type of thing.
Absolutely. We'd like to take a couple of minutes to thank our sponsor, iTalki. Now, iTalki is a service that gives you the opportunity to study one-to-one with an online English teacher. You can have lessons with a native teacher from various countries. If you fancy learning, if you feel like learning from an American speaker or a British English speaker or an Australian speaker, they have a wide selection of English teachers and a very wide selection of prices that the teachers charge. So it's very affordable and it will fit, encajar, with your budget, the amount of money you'd like to spend, and with the time you have available to study. If you'd like to try the service, iTalki are offering 100 free credits, which is probably about one lesson free to each student that signs up for their service. And for more information, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Next, we have a voice message from Edgar Ubaldo, who comes from Mexico. Let's listen to Edgar's message.
Hello, Craig and Reza. How are you doing? This is a friend from Mexico. My name is Edgar. First of all, I would like to thank you because your job, it's a great job. I really enjoy it and I really appreciate it. So thank you, guys. The second thing is that you have here a big fan of your show, of your podcast, which I find very interesting because it's the perfect combination of a stand-up show and an English class. So very enjoyable. Very nice done, you guys. And the third thing is this. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Yes, it's a very formal and ancient English that I would like to know more about. I think it would be useful for students like us that we come across with these phrases. And I find it very beautiful and very, I don't know, they have a special rhythm and a special meaning. I don't know what it is, but I would like to know more about it. Maybe you can talk a little bit about this in a future podcast. Anyway, I hope you're doing well, and I'm looking forward to send you another message about the topic you recently pointed out about the Mexican wall or Mexican-American wall. So talk to you later, boys.
Well, thank you, Edgar, for your message. One thing I'd like to say before we look at what you said about the language, you said very nice done. It should be very well done or very nicely done. Be careful of the difference between adjectives and adverbs. A nice show, that's adjective noun, is nicely done, bien hecho. good and well, nice and nicely. Be careful of those adjective adverb differences. Any comments, Reza?
Yes, thank you very much, Edgar. And I'm really impressed with your admiration of poetic use of language. You're quite right when you say that that line from the King James Bible, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. It does sound good. It does sound special. There's something very profound about it. And that's not by chance. The person who came up with those exact words has thought about the rhythm, the sound of the words, and where to put each individual word. For example, by putting not at the end, they speak not. Well, that's not normal grammar, as you say. It's more typical to say they don't speak. But by saying they speak not, you really emphasize the word not, and it sounds more dramatic and more poetic. And I suppose more beautiful in a way.
Yeah, it is very beautiful. It's actually from Psalm 115, Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, the P is silent. Psalm is Salmo. So let me just read two lines from it. Again, Reza was just said the first line. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. So not only, as Reza said, that the grammar is strange because they speak not should probably be in modern English, they don't speak, but also the word order, noses have they should be they have noses in modern English, and eyes have they should be they have eyes. So it is very, it's got inverted word order and different grammar, which is interesting and a lovely, lovely rhythm to the language. So perhaps we could, in the future, and a not too distant future, have a podcast about poetry and use some poetry from the Psalms, from the Bible, and also look at other poetry, particularly the rhythm and the grammar that's used in different types of poetry. It'll be an interesting thing to do, Reza, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's a very interesting question, Edgar. But we'll dedicate more time to it in a special episode.
Yes. And we do look forward to hearing your future voice message, Edgar, on the Mexican Wall. So send us that when you have time. And we also have a message from our friend Javier from Tolosa, who sends us an audio message. And here is Javier.
Hello, Greg and Reza. How are you? This is Javier from Tolosa. I have a question. I don't understand why I usually listen to BBC 4, 45 minutes and comments, and at the beginning of the podcast, they say always, the BBC news is read by. I don't understand that, because in Spanish we say, we would say, las noticias son leídas, okay? Can you explain to us, please? Other thing, like my man says, when I bought my car, I put it in English. The GPS is in English too, and this is very useful to improve our English. Oh no, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, Javier, thank you very much for your feedback. And your pronunciation is fantastic, by the way. And I don't think you made any mistakes at all. You asked about why we say the news is read and not are, because in Spanish, las noticias is plural. Well, in English, it's not. The news in English is uncountable. It's neither plural or singular, it's just always the same, and it always goes with the third person singular verb. The news is good, the news is bad, the news is read by.
It's confusing though, because you have the S at the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see the S, you think, oh, it's a plural noun, but it isn't. It's so uncountable.
It's as simple as that.
Yep. So we say some news or a piece of news. I have a piece of news for you. So it behaves exactly the same as other uncountable nouns, including the news is, like coffee is or traffic is.
And also you mentioned the idea of putting your GPS, your sat nav, your satellite navigation in English. Yes, that's a very good idea. As Mammon said a few weeks ago, you will definitely improve your English by listening to, even if it's a machine, speaking in English every day.
And speaking of machines, you can even download famous voices to your GPS and have Arnold Schwarzenegger reading the GPS directions as the Terminator.
How do you do that?
I don't know, because I've never done it, but you can. I think you have to pay for using the voice. So you download the voice to your computer, you pass it over to your GPS. That's one way of doing it. And I'm not sure if you can do that with Google turn-by-turn directions and other navigation systems. But check your navigation system. There's a possibility that you could download famous voices and use them on your GPS, which just adds that bit of humor and makes it a bit different and entertaining while you're driving and improving your listening with directions.
So you can get anybody, really. Mickey Mouse, for example. Hello, turn left. Sorry.
And now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us or an idea for a future episode? We would love to hear your voice messages. You can send us your voice message using SpeakPipe, which is at speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. Or send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And we have our very first video. We recently asked you to send us a video so that we can see your faces and hear your voices and get to know you a little better. And our first video feedback was sent by Josep from Barcelona. So to watch Josep's wonderful video, go to inglespodcast/147 and you can virtually meet Josep on the internet. Now, this is an example of someone who is doing everything right. He's sending us voicemails, he's making videos, he's listening to podcasts and TV series to improve his English. He's taking advantage of everything to take his English to the next level. So well done, Josep. Thanks for your video. And we'd love to get more videos from you, the listener. So please send them to us by email. And one thing that Josep said in his video is the word pudding. He spoke about the word pudding, P-U-D-D-I-N-G, and asked if we use it as a synonym for dessert, which in some parts of the UK they do, don't they, Reza?
Yeah. Yeah, so in English, pudding doesn't mean a specific dessert. It means dessert in general.
It can,
yeah. There are some specific puddings like Christmas pudding or
Sticky toffee pudding.
Sticky toffee pudding, of course. One of my favorites.
Rice pudding.
Of course. There are lots of specific types of pudding. But if you just say pudding in general, for example, would you like some pudding? It could mean dessert.
In some parts of the UK. And I think it's a bit like we spoke in the past about tea meaning dinner or lunch. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the region. I would say my family dessert. Would you like dessert? I wouldn't use the word pudding, but in some families they would. Of course, there's Yorkshire pudding, which is the savoury pudding that's very common with roast dinners as well.
And don't forget, of course, black pudding.
Black pudding, yeah.
Morcilla. Spanish people, you may be surprised to know you're not the only people who eat black pudding. It's traditional in the north of England to eat black pudding as well, morcilla.
And finally, there's a wonderful list of people who are sponsoring the show, and we'd like to thank you live on the podcast. You are Lara Alem, Carlos Garrido, Zara Heath Pizcal, Mamen from Biescas, Juan Leiva Galera, Sara Jarbo, Corey Finneran, Manuel García Beragón, Jorge Jiménez, Raúl López, Rafael Manuel Tarazona, Mariel Reidemann, Maite Palacín Pérez, Lorena, Pedro Martínez, and our latest sponsor, Ana Charta. thank you very, very much for your support. And a huge thank you again goes out to Arminda from Madrid for continuing to transcribe full transcriptions for us. They are now available for episodes 131, 134, 135, 136, and 138. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Arminda.
Thank you, Arminda.
Reza, what's next week?
On next week's episode, we've got Mamin's true English story and some more idioms.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. So until next week, it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.